Hey, welcome back for another episode of the podcast, Porn Brain Rewire. Today, Zach's joining me for a very important discussion that I know is tricky for a lot of men. And actually, the idea was Zach's idea. So first, hey, Zach, how's it going? What's happening?
Hey there. I'm super excited to talk with you today. This is fun.
Yeah, me too. I know it's been a long time. And when I made the podcast link, I entitled it and sent it over to Zach. It was entitled, I Love You, Man. And he knew exactly what I meant when he saw the title come through, because what we're talking about today is how to initiate friendships to overcome loneliness, which is a huge hurdle for so many men that are out there, especially single men who then find themselves reverting back into the screen out of sheer boredom and no idea how else to engage in their lives. So we are going to focus on initiating friendships, hence the title. And if you've never seen the movie, I Love You, Man, I'll connect the dots there for you. Then we're going to talk about some fears that might come up for you in this process and how you can overcome those fears. And then, of course, we're going to talk about, once you've initiated, how you can nurture and maintain relationships. And you know, if you talked to me 10 years ago, I would not be the person to ask, but I've been practicing this skill also. So we're excited to dig in from both of our perspectives. You got anything to add there before we move on?
No, I'm excited to get started. I think where I'm coming from on it is, and one of the reasons I mentioned it to Dr. Lee, you know, I'm going to be moving soon and moving to a different area, be closer to family. And so I've done this process a couple times before where I've had to start fresh, make new friends. And I think there are a lot of people that don't have those skills. They haven't practiced it and it's difficult. And so, and this is one of the reasons guys go into porn is they're lonely. They haven't connected with people. And, you know, when I'm like, hey, get an accountability buddy and get on the other side of your software, they're like, I don't have a friend. And so it's like, oh, well, let's start there.
Well, totally. Yeah. And it's funny because from my perspective, if you've ever heard me talk on any of these podcasts, my natural inclination is to, I love being alone. And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of people in my life, but I don't naturally want to go out and meet people. I'm happy to go out and be with people. I've been this way my whole life, that establishing deep relationships isn't the first thing that I care to do. I love doing my work. I have, you know, many, many, many acquaintances, so I can always go out and have a little fun. But when it came to building intimacy and deeper relationships, it wasn't something I really cared about. So I didn't put any time or energy into it. So, you know, there's people out there who want those relationships. There's people out there who think they don't. And that was me. But then, you know, the reason I say 10 years ago, I moved here 10 years ago, and where we were before, we had big family. So it was easier for me to have a lot of acquaintances when we moved here. I didn't know anybody. And we ended up building, nurturing through some really positive and seemingly negative ways. And I'll talk about that. And then being able to maintain some really great friendships. So let's dig into, your word was initiate. And I use a different word. And I wasn't going to stop you because we said we're going to make sure we talk about this during the podcast and not talk about it all before the podcast. So maybe I could throw it over to you and you could just describe what you mean about initiating to build a friendship.
Yeah. And so where my mind goes is, you know, when I was going to college, I'm originally from Virginia, and I traveled to Nashville and went to school out in Nashville at a place called Belmont University. And my first semester there, I met people that were resident assistants. And so they were in charge of the dorm and helped meet people. And so I read this book, a very famous book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And it forever.
By Dale Carnegie. It is one of the best books ever. If you've not read that book, that's a fundamental in the beginning of a personal development journey.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, when people say it's a must read, like a book is a must read, like literally that's a must read. If you want to interact with people, mm-hmm. and it's such an easy read, it's really not hard. And there were three principles I wanted to talk about in initiating mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. friendships, cool. in meeting new people. And these are the elements that, like, we'll talk about, like going out and about, engaging with people who have similar interests, all these things. But if you don't know what to do when you're there, mm-hmm. it could be difficult, right? And so there's three main things that I really took from the book on initiation and getting people to like you in a genuine way, not in a manipulative way. Mm-hmm. First thing is remembering names. And when I think about this, I think about, you know, years ago when I was 16 and I'm first getting a bank account, I went into the bank and was helped by this teller and left. And I came back maybe a month later and she's like, "Oh, hey, Zach, how are you doing?" Mm-hmm. I was floored. Mm-hmm. I was like, how did she remember my name? And to this day, I still remember it because people love the sound of their own name.
Totally. They do. They do. Science proves that.
Yeah. And you just feel like, wow, this person cares about me. And you may not think this consciously, but you think it underlying. And so when you meet people and you make it a point to remember their name, oh man, this person's automatically going to be more inclined to like you, right? Mm-hmm. A second thing that I learned from the book that I try to get really good at, it helps me with coaching, but it just helps me in life in general, is talking about the other person and what interests them more so than what interests me. And if it aligns, great. And so I'll give you an example. I was meeting a guy at a restaurant. We were working together and I was like, oh, I want to get to know this guy a little bit better.
That's a mandate. That's a mandate. Let's call a spade a spade. You are going on a mandate.
We went on a mandate. We were there for like an hour and all I did the whole time was ask him questions about him. Hey, where, you know, I don't know much about you. Where are you from? Oh yeah. How did you do that? Where'd you go from there? Where did you go to school? Oh, what interests you? How did you learn music? You're really a great musician. And so the whole time we talked about him, he didn't ask me a single question about me. Mm-hmm. We talked about him for an hour. Mm-hmm. He went to our boss and said, "Wow, man, I felt like Zach and I really connected." Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we know each other better. Mm-hmm. And like, he didn't know a thing about me because he never asked anything about me, but he walked away and said, "Man, that guy's great at conversation." And all it was me showing genuine interest and me asking questions. And that's the third point, is showing genuine interest mm-hmm. in the other people. I've done a video on Jordan Peterson. I'm a fan. One of the things that he says that I love is people are interesting. If you find everyone around you is boring, it probably means you're boring.
Yeah. It's probably you, not them.
It's probably you. It's probably not them. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. And it fits really well into Dale Carnegie. So those are my three big things.
Yeah. Awesome. And actually, I know I've talked about those things on this podcast and I tell this one, it was a long time ago. So I just got an email saying that we have just surpassed our 75th podcast episode. Nice. On Porn Brain Rewire, which is really yeah. cool. So it was definitely like 70 podcasts ago when I talked about this, but, you know, I'm naturally an introvert, so I never really want to go to parties and I've changed. And so I have grown to enjoy going out more than I did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So this was a story from like 10 years ago when my husband loves to go out. He's more extroverted. He loves every Friday and Saturday. He wants to be somewhere. So we went to this party and I'm like, my strategy was, I have two strategies. The first strategy is I just talk about work. If I'm going out and I just totally don't want to go, I'll say to my husband, "I'm talking about work the whole time I'm out. I'm going to tell people about neuroscience. I'm going to tell people about neurofeedback." But this time I said, I'm only going to ask people questions about themselves. And I met every single one of my strategies when I go out. So to talk about initiation, which I know is difficult for many people, but when I enter a room to make myself comfortable, I introduce myself to everybody in the room as I enter. So if I walk into a party, I'm not comfortable. So to get myself comfortable, I will literally go to every single person and go, "Hey, I'm Trish. How do you spend your time?" That's my question. I don't say, "What do you do for work?" I don't say, you know, "What are your hobbies?" I say, "How do you spend your time?" Because it automatically leads them to the thing they like to talk about the most, mm-hmm. which automatically leads them to the next thing. And this one party, I still remember it. This one party, I did that to every single person. And then I just kept asking them questions. Nobody asked me one thing. I didn't talk about myself at all, never mm-hmm. spoke. And before I left, people saw me leaving, literally they're all beelining to say goodbye to me, to tell me that they had the nicest conversation. And I was thinking the same thing. You don't know one thing about me right now. Where my other strategy is the polar opposite, because I don't even care if I talk to people. So I'm like, if I'm gonna talk, I'm gonna explain the ins and outs of neurofeedback therapy to you.
And then no one says anything to you.
And actually, people love that because I've done a good job with my elevator pitch and all that. So, but it leads into tons of conversation about me and my work. And so, which obviously, to meet people and to befriend people, a balance of those two is really what.
Right.
And, so me going in hardcore, that was just to entertain myself because I didn't really want to be out. So it worked out well in that case. Remembering names, I always put names into my phone. When like we just moved to a new neighborhood and, I met the guy across the street was coming out, introduced himself. I put his name and his daughter's name, two daughters' names into my phone. And actually I had the name wrong. And my daughter corrected me. And I corrected it in my phone so that this way, if I need to, and actually I remembered his name, I called his name yesterday and I'm like, hey, so-and-so. And, and we're chatting it up because you're absolutely right. It then builds connection. My kids started a new school. I met all these parents on, this was 6-7 years ago, new school. It's even more important when you meet like 9 people at a time, because there's no way you're going to remember all 9 people because it's like, drinking from a fire hydrant. So especially like in those cases, I'll go over to the corner and I will put their name in a descriptor, which I probably
can
share any of those things. It's tall blonde woman, Susanna.
Right.
But then next time the tall blonde woman comes up, because I'm the only new mom in that situation. So everybody knows my name. I'm the new one. They're all the old ones. It's even more important in those cases. And, of course, being authentic. I learned that a long time ago that, if we don't vibe, we don't vibe. And I'm glad to meet you, but I'm also glad not to spend a long time not vibing with you.
Right.
But I just wanted to say one more thing about what you were talking about too, in doing that in a work setting. I just told one of my clients basically this same strategy with his superior because he's up for performance review. And I'm like, do you meet with a superior? And he's like, yeah, once a week. And I'm like, have you ever, asked your superior, anything about himself? Have you ever given your superior a compliment and on very specifically about some suggestion he gave you? He's like, no. I'm like, you can use these opportunities to authentically connect because what your superior is going to do, and I know this is a little diverging a little in a little different direction, but that's a really powerful work strategy also that if you want to try to control your performance reviews, sharing a little bit of personal information, getting some personal information. My son just got pulled over and I will not even tell you how fast he was going. I will tell you off the podcast because it is not to be shared for eternity. That young man, he's 19. Anyway, he's like, he was breaking down the situation and he's like, when the officer came to the car, of course, it's stressful for everybody. Then he went back and then he came back again. And then my son tried to build some connection with him. But of course, stress is running high for everybody. So like, he's like, I should have taken the opportunity originally to build the connection and maybe it would have turned out better. I'm like, it's just a heightened situation. Like it probably wouldn't have. But he recognized the fact, even at 19 years old, personal connections are the things that are going to help you. Especially in a situation like that. So I love it. I love that.
Just quickly going off what you're saying about the performance review, the base of connecting with people is knowing their name. Cause they'll know if you're avoiding, you're like, oh, hey dude, we know internally, oh, this person doesn't know my name. Right. This person doesn't care about me. Right. Yeah. And we have this like internal process. And so like the base should be learning that you have to pay attention because a lot of times we shut down. We say, hey, I'm Zach. And then we say, what's your name? And then we shut down.
Yeah. And we don't actually pay attention. Yeah. You have to care. My husband doesn't remember anybody's names unless he cares. And then it's a running joke. When we go out, he'll go, hey, I'm Kaz. And they'll go, I've met you 12 times, dude.
Well, and so you don't want to do that to your boss. And so if you're connecting with your boss and you obviously, hopefully, you know what your boss's name is, but if you know what his wife's name, or if it's a her husband's name, their kids' names, their dog's name. Are you kidding me? This person's like, oh, I like this person. This person cares, right? And that's what we all just want, is knowing the other person cares. And so if you take these principles and understand, like, the person you're talking to, essentially the person they care about the most is themselves. If you pay attention to the details about themselves, if you talk about them, let them talk about themselves, this person will like you more.
Yep. Definitely. Okay. So you used my word when you were talking. My word is engage. So you hear me say this word a lot. And so I'm going to back up initiating. So this right now we've talked about, you know, like when you're, and my other word is approach, engage and approach. So we're talking about, like, when you engage and approach a person, what do you do? That's the initiation piece that you have talked about. I want to bring us back just a few steps and go, how do you even get yourself, as a person who's sitting on your couch, how do you get yourself into a position where you might have the ability to initiate? And I've helped so many men, young men, middle-aged men, older men, to be able to do this with a simple strategy that seems slightly silly, but it really works. And if you try it, it will absolutely work. So, okay, write this one down. I'm only kidding, because it's just totally obvious. You have to get off your couch and go into the world. But seriously, get your journal out. You know, I always tell you in the podcast, get your journal out, because you have to find somewhere in the world that you feel comfortable enough to let your guard down and to put your big boy pants on and to be able to approach and engage a person for initiation, hence the mandate. And my husband goes, my husband is currently on a mandate. He's golfing with his two besties and another person he doesn't know that well. So I was thinking about this, you know, as we were getting ready to talk. So I'm like, he's currently kind of on a mandate, and he's cute. He's gone on a whole bunch of mandates, because he's, you know, he's, even as a, you know, middle-aged man, he's trying to, both of us are trying to establish emotionally healthy relationships with emotionally healthy people, which can be difficult to do. You know, we have a whole ton of friends who know how to party, but, you know, we're kind of looking for these deeper connections, and we do have a set of good friends, thankfully, but, you know, we're always looking for people that we vibe with and who are interested in spending more time. We're up for that. So that's a really cool thing. So he's on a mandate right now, golfing. I was going to text him, how's the mandate, to see what response I got. But then I'm like, but, you know, that's from I Love You, Man. And in I Love You, Man, the premise of the movie, it's such a good movie, with Paul Rudd. And what's the other guy's name?
I wanted to say Jason something.
I want to say Jason Segel. It's Jason Segel. Segel. Yeah. Segel. Such a good movie. So in the premise, you know, he's getting married and he doesn't have any groomsmen. So he's like, I got to get some effing friends. You know, he's trying to find a way to establish real connections. And, you know, it's kind of the ins and outs, and we're going to get to the fears to overcome and some of the difficulties real quick, you know. And in that movie, it's really cute, because, you know, he doesn't think he's making these friends because everything goes wrong with a lot of them. And then in the end, they end up making his groomsmen. Plus, he's found himself a best friend. And, you know, we'll talk about how he nurtured that to be able to maintain it in just a second. But let's go back to the engage and approach and the strategy. In that movie, he basically does what I'm talking about to a certain degree, but you have to get off your couch and find a way to get into the world in things that you care about, so that you can end up in a position to meet other like-minded, emotionally healthy people. And we're not going to break down emotionally healthy here, but emotionally healthy means self-aware people who are able to self-regulate. They're interested in social relationships. They're aware of people socially, and they are interested in building healthy social relationships. That's basically emotional intelligence. So, like, one gentleman that I work with owned his own business. He had very limited time to be able to connect with people. He worked a lot, and he lived in a different country, not the United States. But he identified that he liked to go to this cafe to grab coffee. So I'm like, why not work from this cafe? So what he ended up doing was working on Friday afternoons from the cafe consistently, so he could, you know, meet the baristas. He was also interested in finding a partner, but I'm like, listen, dude, let's back the bus up. You need to learn how to meet people before you, because I don't want you going in objectifying and swooping in just to meet the perfect you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
and can I interject for one second? Yeah. Just one. Uh-huh. And also great strategy if you're, if your apartment or your house is a trigger for you, if you work from home and you're like, this is a problem, this is also a solution. If you go and work at a cafe or at a restaurant,
shared workspace or something like that. So
and it's less of a trigger. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then mm-hmm. this is very important because I always talk about the strategy scaffolding. Scaffolding mm-hmm. is you start here and then you build to floor two and then floor three, floor four. So like getting comfortable in a space is one step. Getting comfortable with the people who work there is step number two. Then once you're comfortable in your physical environment and you kind of feel settled into it, now you can approach and engage people. So he would compliment people, young, old, women, men, grandmas, kids. He would learn to initiate and engage and approach people and just make a compliment or begin to chit chat with people. And, you know, before you know it, that was able to scaffold him into meeting some people for some true connection. And we actually worked on, and we won't talk about it in this podcast, but we should probably do another one. We worked on how to then attempt to, in one small interaction, to be able to exchange information, to try to foster a relationship or to at least nurture a relationship with a woman, because he really was mm-hmm. interested in getting a partner. And we used that as that strategy also.
That's great.
Do you have a thought? Because then I wanted to share one other.
Yeah. And that's yet another thing that How to Win Friends and Influence People talks about is genuine compliments. And you want to do it in a way that's non-creepy. Like, you smell like lemons and I like lemons. It's like really weird thing to say to someone. But if you're like, hey, I love those shoes. Those are great. Where'd you get them? If they're a guy, you know, and if they're a woman, totally. You know, I've heard you got to be careful about the way you approach compliments with women. Mm-hmm. My wife has told me that. And so like, you know, but if you're like, you know, hey, you did a great job on, like, if you're at the coffee shop, hey, you got me my drink so fast. I really appreciate you working hard. Like, that's a genuine compliment, non-creepy. That's
definitely. And you know, I had that gentleman start practicing complimenting older women and younger women in a healthy way so that it wasn't triggery on accident just because of the headspace. And then he was really funny because some of those older women like turned the tables on him. They're like, oh, yeah. You know, he's a young, good looking guy. I'm like, that's not good to deal with. But you know, we were teaching him, he was learning and settling into mm-hmm. approaching and engaging with people. Right. And it worked beautifully. Honestly, he loved it. We were able to achieve his goals, but that's not the primary thing. Cause that can be tricky. The primary thing I have people do is join some group of like-minded people. And this is a really important aspect is that doesn't require a ton of verbal interaction because that's the hard part. Like if you have to sit across from a person on a mandate for an hour to come up with, you know, we've already given the strategy of how to come up with 1 hour's worth of just listening. But, you know, so one guy I work with, a bunch of them, because bicycling seems to lend itself to it, joined bicycling teams or recreational. There's one right around my house that they're always biking on Saturdays and in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you show up, you chat for a few minutes, you ride. Mm-hmm. You come back, you chat for a few minutes, you disappear. So it gives you some time to interact verbally and to vibe people out, but then lots of time doing a thing that you love. And, you know, you can do that at the gym class. You can do that at boxing classes. You can do that at any given meetup that does something organized, you know, any organized type of activity will have that beginning mm-hmm. talk time, ending talk time. And then, you know, time in the middle, do a hobby that you love, which is going to put your brain in a good spot. You have a thought?
Yeah. You know, and that's literally like when I'm thinking about my move and I'm planning out what am I going to do to meet people? The thing that how I met people in high school, how I met people in college, how I met people throughout my life has always been music for me. Like I'm a drummer. Mm-hmm. People need drummers. And so, you know, my closest friends have come from me playing music with them. And just like you said, it's like, okay, we talked a little bit beforehand. We do the music, we talk a little bit after, and then we see each other a couple times a week. And then eventually friendships form and expand.
Yeah. And you text each other, whatever cool music's coming out. Definitely. It gives you this connected mm-hmm. that you can stay connected throughout the week. Funny mm-hmm. because I wanted to share when you talked about the RA thing, like just to show where I'm at. And I don't know if I shared with you, when I met my husband, he's like, you're practically a man. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure how to take that. But what he meant was, I really roll more like a man than I do like a woman. My demeanor very much my entire life. Mm-hmm. So like, when I went to college, I became an RA because I got my own room and I didn't have to connect with anybody on a real interconnected. The first year I had to, but then I became an RA. I had my own room. In my senior year, only two people on campus, I think they've since gotten rid of it, could become hall directors. So I became a hall director as a senior. So now I'm in a leadership role above, you know, all the other seniors in my hall, which just made it so that there's a natural disconnect. So there's no way I can be your friend. And that has been a protective mechanism for me for the longest time. So like 10 years ago, one of my coaches said to me, join something that you don't organize. And I'm like, I'm not sure what you mean by that. And he's like, join something you're not in charge of. And I'm like, all right then. And you know, and of course, since then I've been using that strategy. That's why I know that that strategy works. And then another thing is that like my best friend Chanel was a realtor. So when we moved, she was the realtor selling our house to us. And we were hurrying. And you know, back then, 10 years ago, I wasn't great at this. I'm like, I barely said hi to her. I'm like, hey, my husband's much better at this. So I'm out in the car. I look at the house. I'm like, yeah, I like it. I'm out in the car. 20 minutes later, that man comes out. And he's like, I really like her. Like, I think she could be our friend. You know what I mean? And, you know, since then, she knows too that I have had to practice being a friend. But since then, you know, we've grown to be very close. And so first, let's just talk briefly about fears to overcome. You know, the fear is like, I still think it sometimes. It's wild because I'm a pretty confident person. And I'll be like, you know, like, why would they even want me to come? Like, I don't even, and you know, I think we all think this, like, am I worthy enough? How could somebody possibly care about me enough? Like, what do I bring to an interaction? You know, I'm annoying sometimes. Why would, you know, so like overcoming all those negative thoughts in your head and recognizing that that's just fear talking, preventing you from getting out there and connecting. Because when we talk about deep connection, it's intimacy. And if you have a problem with porn, you inherently definitely have a problem with intimacy. That's part of it. But most people have a difficulty with intimacy. Do you have a thought on that before we, or any other fears that you can think of?
For me, I guess because I've just developed that skill, one thing that you talked about was that you had to practice being a friend. And I want people to know that if they're like, I can't do that, like, I can't just go up and talk to people. And I loved your scaffolding method because this is a skill. And so for me, it's more so laziness at this point. Why I don't go up and talk to people. I'm just like, you know, in my day-to-day life, I talk to my clients like crazy, like, you know, and, but, you know, I think it's something, it's like anything else. Like, maybe you're good at coding. I don't even know what coding is.
Exactly.
It's like, it's because you practice that thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're not good at initiation, if you're afraid of it, there's something called exposure therapy. It's what psychologists use to help people overcome phobias. Now, maybe you don't have a phobia. Some people do. Some people have social phobias, and there are good reasons for it at times. But
and we know when it comes to porn, social anxiety is one, I would call it one of the number one side effects of porn use that people don't know. Because people will talk to me all the time. They'll email me or in consults, they'll say, you know, I have this serious social anxiety. And a lot of it comes from shame, because a lot of people will say to me, like, going back to that worthiness, they'll say, if they knew what I did when I was alone, they wouldn't want to talk to me.
Right.
And that's why I want people to know that, you know, porn brain is not your fault, but it's 100% your responsibility to be able to overcome it. And social anxiety will, you know, start to alleviate and remediate and go away when you mm-hmm. when your brain heals, because a part of that comes from the brain pattern.
Right. Well, and so I have two places I want to go now, because I want to go off what you were saying. And then I had this other thing about phobias and exposure therapy. So now I'm like,
yeah, go.
So first off, if quick note, and I'm going to go back to the phobia thing. Uh-huh. So if that is a problem for you, join our group coaching, because what happens is you see the people around you that are struggling with the same thing. And then a lot of that shame kind of melts away. That's how the shame melted away for me, was talking to people and telling them like,
yeah. And I tell people all the time, that group is the coolest group. Even when it rotates, it's the coolest group of guys who mm-hmm. are high achieving mm-hmm. men who are caught mm-hmm. up in the same thing. So when you get there and you're like, whoa, you know, this is every man's problem, and it's yeah. high achieving men who are figuring mm-hmm. it out and figuring out how to communicate and figuring mm-hmm. out how to be more intimate and vulnerable and share. And we'll go back to the phobia thing in 1 second, but I have to give yeah, yeah. the public service announcement yeah. because if you've heard me, my New Year's resolution, I've heard from so many people this year that said, I didn't know you had a program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talk about shame, shame on me, even though I'm not a self-shamer. You know, we have a solid 90-day program that will mm-hmm. help to rewire your brain. Zach's the yeah. lead coach in that program. So it's a digital, self-paced, self-guided program. If you can't make it through yourself, and even if you can, we encourage you to get into the small group coaching for accountability and for help in personalizing and individualizing the program. Mm-hmm. And then Zach offers personal coaching on top. Mm-hmm. So you could have a digital program with all the tools and techniques, plus weekly support if you wanted it. Mm-hmm. That yeah. is scientifically proven to be the recipe for success in leaving porn behind, healing your brain, and being able to ride off into the sunset. Now, right. back to the phobia.
And one last thing, we're going to go off on 1,000 tangents, but, and the one thing you didn't mention is that it provides community. Mm-hmm. And so does it provide deep community? Yeah. If some of the guys connect with each other, right. And so it can provide deeper community, but at the very least it does provide community. And so it's awesome. Like,
definitely. And I lead quarterly big meetings, and we have another one coming up in just a few weeks. I forget what day it is. It's the second week in April, I believe. And in that meeting, it's a Q&A. So I do most of the talking, but when you come on and you see all these faces, it's a closed meeting for only people in the 90-day program. You know, it's one of my favorite things to do these days, because I can help to respond to people's needs in the moment, but also like you realize, like, you know, everybody's working their way through this thing. And then when you get to the other side of it, that's where the life that you wanted is, like, literally. So don't wait, you know, don't walk, run and sign up if you need help. Don't suffer alone, because that's my New Year's resolution to myself. I'm going to tell people, don't suffer alone any longer. We have an awesome program for you. And if it vibes what we're talking about here, the energy vibes, get into it immediately.
Yeah. Well, and what's so interesting about this community, you know, I was taking a class in my master's program on group counseling. And one of the questions they asked is like, who are your people? Like, who are your groups? Mm-hmm. And my first thought was like, recovering addicts. Mm-hmm. Like, those are my people. And like, there was this lady who was in the class that's in AA. She's recovering alcoholic. I was like, she's one of my people. And it's just like, it's like this, like, understanding of each other of like, oh, I know what you've got, a year of sobriety. I know what that means. Yeah. Like, that's hard work. Good I job. Know. And so,
oh
like,
my gosh, that's awesome.
It's just
that's
that community is awesome. So we've gone on 1,000 tangents.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we've got to wrap it up relatively quickly. Yeah. So 5 seconds of the phobia thing, yeah. then we finish it up with your thoughts. But
yep, sounds great.
If you are afraid to approach people, exposure therapy is the thing that's used for people with phobia. So the most extreme fears that people have, where it's just controlling you and you can't get out. So you take it in steps, just like the scaffolding, like Dr. Lee just was talking about, where it's like, okay, if you're afraid of people, if you're afraid to be in social situations, okay, you do start out with sitting in the cafe by yourself. Okay. You're exposing yourself to the thing you're afraid of. And then the next step is you talk to a person at the counter. Okay. Exposing yourself. It's step by step by step. That's how, like, phobias of dogs, elevators, outside. So agoraphobia, people being outside, mm-hmm. it's like you expose it in small little ways over time, more and more and more and more, and you become braver and braver and braver. And then eventually, hopefully the goal is that the fear goes away. And so
and you're exercising the muscle of dealing with that thing for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's I've honestly had to do that with friends because mm-hmm. with building friendships, and I taught myself not to care, or I taught myself to pretend to not care because of, you know, it always goes back to accidental family dysfunction and, you know, traumatic experiences when we're young and we learn how to navigate the world. That became part of my armor. I don't care. I don't need friends because look at all the cool leadership things I can do. And then when I'm like, I have to go join something, I don't run. Like, literally, I don't know how to do that. You know, I'm like sitting out in my car. I joined book clubs. I went to yoga, you know, like, and then of course, like now I'm genuinely good at that. And that's why I like saying with parties, I don't have the same fear feelings walking into a party anymore. I don't have to do the thing. I used to have to go say hello to everybody because if not, I would just be, you know, kind of filled with fear the whole time. That was a survival mechanism. And now it's actually been flipped into a thrival mechanism because I enjoy it. I've met everybody. I'm free to continue to build whatever throughout the night because I've known everybody. Okay. We're going to wrap it up with just the ideas of, you know, then how do you nurture and maintain? And just one little ditty on that is that, and it goes back to, I love you, man. And then we'll put a bow on it in that regard is that, you know, relationships aren't easy. They're not perfect and they're not like the movies. And that's why I Love You Man is kind of a good example because it's not easy at all. All the ways he meets people are all twisted and it doesn't work out. But in the end, he built connections with those people. And Chanel, my best friend, and I think I've told this story and I'll just give the really short version. When I moved into my neighborhood, a bunch of these women became catty. And it kind of was like a thing that Chanel put me in a position. She didn't do anything. But like, you know, I was miffed because I'm like, here I am. I'm actually throwing myself out and I don't want to, but I am because I'm trying to grow. And then now I get all this backlash. I got all these problems from these people I've never even met. Mm-hmm. And I called Chanel. I can remember still where I was on the side of the road. And I don't call. And Chanel and I still joke. If I call you, I joke because I'll call you. And I never call anybody else. If I call you, I'm probably dying or I have a major problem. So I called Chanel and she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, you know, this thing's happening. I'm not even kidding. Chanel got in her car and drove to that woman's house and said, don't mess with that woman because she has nothing to do with whatever thing you've got going on. That's rupture and repair. And it's imperfect action. And there's been multiple examples of that kind of back and forth across the decade of our relationship where there's been a little bit of this. And then if you can communicate well and come back, there's repair in a stronger relationship. So friendships aren't perfect. And in the rupture and repair, that becomes the fabric of them. So, you know, engaging and approaching and knowing there is going to be some fear to overcome. Like there's no courage. Without fear, there's no courage. You have to have the courage to embark on these relationships. If it doesn't go the way that you anticipated in your mind, it doesn't mean it's not going well. It might be. And so like, it's imperfect. It's not going to fold out the way that you think. So join something, start working that muscle and overcome the fear through courage and then let it develop. And if things go wrong, have the courage to communicate and go back and say, I really like you. I want to be your friend. Let's get on the same page about this thing. If people can get on the same page, it's going to last a long time. If they can't, then they were there for a season.
Right. And then tell them they smell like lemons and you like lemons and they'll love you forever. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, honestly, that's important. Chanel's doing a presentation and I went to help her on Monday night. And then something she said about the presentation has been stuck in my mind. Mm-hmm. So in a good way, you know, like mm-hmm. that really hit that thing. And this is what you were talking about too. Like, you know, going to help her on Monday made it so I had a text to send her today. I'm like, I thought about that point that you said, it's really cool. It's going to hit hard. You're going to rock this out.
Yeah.
And like, it gave me the opportunity to really, you know, appreciate her. And you can only do that if you get out there in the world and take the risk to connect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was helping her with this presentation. And it's funny because like I told you, I'm a confident person. In my mind, I'm like, don't say anything stupid. Don't be too cocky. You know what I mean? I'm like, of like monitoring myself. And then I'm like, stop monitoring yourself, because it's just ridiculous. But that's the fear piece. Like, you just show up, you be vulnerable, you have courage, and it's going to work out. It's going to move you in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. So and make some mistakes, and okay, then you move on and you continue to get better. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, then I've been able to make more friends in a very genuine way that wasn't so painful. So it's like, you know, very good. So I wanted to thank you for introducing the topic so that we are here sharing it with people. Hopefully you got a lot of value out of that, because I think it really is a valuable conversation. And again, our program is at drtrishlee.com. It's under the Porn Brain Rewire programs. The main program is the 90-day program. I've actually streamlined the website. Zach might not know about this. And we had a 30-day program on there, but a lot of people were getting into consults saying, I'm confused where to start. Where you can start is you get into the 90-day program, because it does have the tools and the techniques, the support and the community, and that's what you need. So it's right there, big, fat, and green. It's not flashing yellow, but it's green. So get into the program so that we can help you, so we can make this year a better year than last. Anything else?
I'm good to go.
All right. Okay. So remember, control your brain or it'll control you. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.